Welcome to Design 30. My name is Jason Bilyeu, and in this podcast, I provide design strategies and tools to improve creativity, innovation, and overall design confidence. Hey, everybody. Today, we are going to be going through a short section of the book Creative Confidence, which I reference all the time. If you are a consistent listener, you know about this book. Can't recommend buying it enough. But we will be going through a section on design-driven innovation. And this section covers four topics of how the company IDEO, which was founded by the authors of this book, it'll be going through how they do their innovation process, which includes four steps that we will cover today, which are inspiration, synthesis, ideation, and experimentation, and number four, implementation. But before we get into all that, remember, please subscribe to the podcast. If you could rate and review it, that would be incredible. You can follow on YouTube. And as always, you can follow on X, which is where all of these episodes will first be posted. So this is a Design More Monday, which is part of the new kind of process, new cadence I have for the podcast. On Fridays will be Despair Less Fridays. So last week was a little crazy, a little busy, coming out of the holidays. Didn't have any episodes, just kind of took the week to catch up on work, but we're right back at it this week. So putting out a new episode this Monday and another one coming on Friday. So let's dive into this topic for today. So it's covering design-driven innovation. We often hear this word innovation thrown around. It's sometimes hard to know exactly what it even means. What do people mean when they say it? So it's really nice to actually put some words, some context, and some steps to what it means to be innovative in a design context and how you can actually pull that off. What are the steps to at least having a chance of being innovative? So the first one they talk about, as I said, is inspiration. And they say, don't wait for the proverbial apple to fall on your head. Go out in the world and proactively seek experiences that will spark creative thinking. Interact with experts, immerse yourself in unfamiliar environments, and role-play customer scenarios. Inspiration is fueled by a deliberate, planned course of action. So the main takeaway here is you need to be out in the world. You need to be out experiencing what people are going through, what products they like, what they don't like. You need to be actually with these people so you can be more empathetic and understand what are their struggles. You need to be with your customers if you're already at a business with customers. If you're trying to create a new business and you're trying to find that customer base, you need to go just experience people who are potential customers and understand what could you offer to them that would be something of value that they would actually be willing to pay money for. So you actually got to be out there. You got to be in the game. You got to be observant. You got to be looking around because inspiration is not just going to come out of nowhere. You have to actually seek it out. And there's a process to it. You need to have a planned course of action. You need to go to these people. It's not just, they're not going to come to your house and tell you, oh, hey, like there's this cool new product I would like to buy from you if you'll make it. No, you got to go out there. You got to put yourself out there to figure out these things, to figure out what is a potential product? What is a potential service that you can offer? So they go on to say, to inspire human-centered innovation, empathy is our reliable go-to source or resource. We find that connecting with the needs, desires, and motivations of real people helps to inspire and provoke fresh ideas. So like I said, being able to actually interact with people and empathize with them is a great way to gain inspiration and to understand what new products or services are going to be successful and actually help people, right? That's in the end, you want to offer something of value. So inspiration, it's not going to come out of the blue. It's not going to come walking into your house most of the time. You need to seek it out. You need to go get inspired. Number two, synthesis. On this one, they say, after your time in the field, the next step is to begin the complex challenge of sense making. You need to recognize patterns, identify themes, and find meaning in all that you've seen, gathered, and observed. So this part's actually pretty hard. This is where you've been out there, you've met with people, you've talked with people, you've heard their complaints, you've heard what their struggles are, and now you have to start actually piecing all of these things together. You have to figure out, okay, what are the common themes? What are themes from person to person? Maybe people phrase a different struggle a little differently, or things that they don't like, things that would improve their life. They might be talking about from different angles, but you have to be able to take all this information. So you should be documenting stuff when you're going through the inspiration phase, taking notes, so you can go back through it during the synthesis phase and try to find some patterns and try to find some ways to figure out what product or service or whatever you are making. Maybe your customer's internal. Maybe you're making a new spreadsheet or a new form for your coworkers, right? They're your customer in that scenario. And often they're not going to tell you exactly what they need. But if you talk to a few people, you might kind of get some clues and hints like, okay, everyone's having this different issue, but it's kind of all related to the same problem. Maybe there's a specific form that could be a reference for everybody and keep them all on the same page, right? So this is one of the harder parts, is where you have all this data, information, observations, and you kind of got to bring it all together into something that makes sense and that you can actually start coming up with ideas for in the next step. But before we get ahead, I want to read a little bit more on this synthesis. They say, during synthesis, we strive to see where the fertile ground is. We translate what we've uncovered in our research into actionable frameworks and principles. We reframe the problem and choose where to focus our energy. For example, in retail environments, we've discovered that if you change the question from how might we reduce customer waiting time to how might we reduce perceived waiting time, it opens up a whole new avenue of possibilities, like using a video display wall to provide an entertaining distraction. So here, they've noticed potentially an issue of, okay, well, people are having a long waiting period, have to wait in line, and that's causing them to be unhappy and not have a good experience as they're shopping and trying to check out. So what are different ways that maybe we can't actually reduce the length of the lines, but we can reduce how they perceive those lines, how they perceive the length of those lines by having something else to entertain them, to distract them, to catch their attention, something else to, yeah, just overall improve their experience. So here's just that subtle shift, right? Of, okay, well, how might we reduce customer waiting time? That's a really difficult problem. Maybe there's other ways to look at this problem. And in this case, it's, okay, well, how can we change how they perceive that waiting time? So that's something during the synthesis phase where you kind of got to, you get a little creative, be a little, just trying out new ideas, thinking about things from different perspectives can be really, really beneficial. Okay, now moving on to step three, which is ideation and experimentation. Here they say, next we set off on an exploration of new possibilities. We generate countless ideas and consider many divergent options. The most promising ones are advanced in iterative rounds of rapid prototypes, early, rough representations of ideas that are concrete enough for people to react to. The key is to be quick and dirty, exploring a range of ideas without becoming too invested in only one. These experiential learning loops help to develop existing concepts and spur new ones. So the idea here is you come up with a bunch of ideas, different services, different products, different forms, different things that might work, and just do it really quick, but something that kind of captures the essence of that idea, right? And then you start testing these out. You start testing them out yourself. Maybe you bring in a few customers, a few coworkers, whoever your user is going to be, and you have them start going through these different rapid prototypes, which is something I love talking about. 3D printing is a great way to come up with rapid prototypes. A lot of other ways to do it, but that's a fun one. So it's key to this step three that you need to come up with a lot of ideas, and you need a way to test those ideas fast. And the key is fast. You don't want them to be bad. Like, there's a lot of technique here. There's a lot of skill here. It's easy to come up with bad prototypes that people are like, oh, well, this is just a bad piece of cardboard. Why? This doesn't help me with anything. Well, this is a terrible product. But if you can make it just good enough to where it can convey a certain concept, a certain feel, a certain even just size, with a form, it might show, hey, like, here's one form that's really long and has a bunch of details. Is that what we're looking for? Or here's another form that's really short and it has like the three top priorities that we need to keep in mind. Is that what we're looking for? Is that not enough detail where it's actually not going to help anything, right? So coming up with a lot of ideas and actually testing those out with real users is another key aspect of step three. And then step three is going to go through these different kind of phases where you're going through testing prototypes, you're cutting out ones that don't go well, ideas that were bad in the beginning, you throw those out, and you start iterating, and just for each round, you take the prototypes that worked well, the ideas that worked well, maybe you refine them, maybe you invest a little bit more money, you make those prototypes a lot better, you make them a lot closer to the real thing, until at some point you have, hopefully, a clear winner, a clear product, a clear service that is going to make your mark, your customer, your user, your coworker, whoever your users may be, it's going to make them happy, it's going to solve their problem. And once you get to that point and you're confident in this idea, you move on to step four, and that is implementation. So here they say, before a new idea is rolled out, we refine the design and prepare a roadmap to the marketplace. Of course, rollouts can vary wildly depending on which elements of an experience or product are involved. Going live with a new online learning platform is very different from offering a new banking service. The implementation phase can have many rounds. More and more companies in every industry are beginning to launch new products, services, or businesses or businesses in order to learn. They live in beta and quickly iterate through new in-market loops that further refine their offering. And this is a really important point. You don't necessarily have to have your product absolutely perfected before you put it out in the market. Obviously, you need to be careful here. It needs to be good enough. You don't want to put a half-baked idea out there. You don't want to put a product out there that is going to have a bunch of service problems and recalls. That stuff is expensive and it can tank your company really fast. But if you can get it to where it's good enough to where you can learn more about your market, your users, what they like, what they don't like, before you invest years and years and millions of dollars into a product, you can invest maybe 1 year and $500,000 in that product and actually get it out in the world and get valuable feedback from actual users. You can see what the market really is. Are people buying this? Is it competitive price-wise? Is it actually financially feasible for your company? Is it financially feasible for your customer? Can they afford it? Can they buy it? Is it worth solving their problem? Right? So getting this product to a point where it is customer ready, but not necessarily 100% refined and doesn't have tons of money wrapped up in it to where your company just depends on this product not flopping. And if it flops, you go bankrupt, right? I mean, that's a bit of an exaggeration, but it's something that can and does happen to a lot of companies. So living in this beta, doing it smartly, again, you don't want to put products out there that are going to have a bunch of service issues, that are going to have a bunch of returns, recalls, be dangerous, anything like that. But maybe you don't have to implement every single feature that you originally wanted. maybe you can release just an MVP, which is your minimal viable product. It serves one function really well, and you can test the market and the desire for that function or for that simplified or simple version of your product. So those are the four steps. I hope that that is something that is useful, that is, something you can actually implement. When people talk about innovation and just use these big amorphous words that don't really mean anything, right? This is something that you can actually hold on to. It's something that you can visualize, you can picture, you can see yourself actually performing these steps and how whatever industry or work you do, how these steps could translate to that. So again, this is a design-driven innovation process. It's from the book, Creative Confidence. Go buy it. I highly recommend it. And the four steps, just one more time, are inspiration, synthesis, ideation and experimentation, and finally, implementation. So this has been a Design More Monday. I hope that this helped you learn just a little bit more about design and innovation. If this is something that you enjoy, find valuable, one of the best ways you can support what I'm doing with this is just to share it, repost it on X, send it to your friends. You can send links to the YouTube channel where this will also be posted. And yeah, it'd also be great to leave a review on Spotify. So if you find this valuable, those are things you can do to help me out and help me get this out to even more people. But that is all for this Monday. I hope you all have a great week. And as always, remember, design more, despair less. Thanks for listening.